80% of people are consumers and 20% of people are creators. And you can grow so much of your business if you just think in that mindset.
Welcome to the Digital Yogi Podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital marketer and ad specialist, a digital strategy coach and founder of the Digital Yogi Agency. And I am a yoga teacher, and I help ambitious yoga and wellness experts to scale and grow through the power of online. So Instagram Reels have now officially been around for a whole year. In that time, how many times have you been told that it is really important to do Reels, and how many have you actually done? 3 a week? 1 a week? Maybe never? Perhaps you're one of the many who hasn't quite gotten around to it yet, or maybe you enjoy watching them, but not necessarily creating them for yourself. In light of this real milestone, I have invited on Ethne Bryan, a yoga teacher in London who was an early adopter with TikTok and Reels, and has seen her videos go viral on both platforms. When I asked you which yogis out there are great at Reels, the majority of you agreed that Ethne absolutely smashes it. She doesn't take herself too seriously, and she is a legend at jumping on trends and showing up consistently. Now I'm going to be asking her exactly how she has used Reels to grow her community and her reach, and importantly, the method that she uses to find inspiration and share engaging Reels and TikToks consistently. Before we jump into the episode, I want to let you know that Master the Gram is back and doors are closing Thursday the 19th of August. Master the Gram is my signature 6-week group program for all of you entrepreneurs in yoga and wellness who want to master your message and start attracting more clients through social media. If you want to start using the platform strategically so that you can scale and grow your business and start attracting great opportunities and your ideal clients, then go to thedigitalyogi.co.uk/masterthegram and sign up, or drop me a DM on Instagram for more information. Thank you so much, F, for joining me today on the podcast. What I would really, really love to talk to you about today is how to use social media to grow a community, but specifically how to use video content and how to create video content that might go viral as a way to reach more people, get your name out there, and just create really engaging content. And I actually put a little shout out on my Instagram stories, like, who is the best person out there who's doing Reels in the yoga space? And most people came back saying you. But you're already so on my radar. You're already on my radar because I feel like you got in there really early when it came to creating video content, but actually coming up with really original video content. So yeah, I'd love to dig into all of this with you.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you for having me on. What an honor. I feel like I'm blushing now.
Well, you're very welcome. Let's start by just giving us a little intro to who you are, what your business looks like, how long you've been teaching.
Cool. Well, I'm F. Hi. I teach in London and it's my full-time occupation at the moment. I've been teaching, I keep getting confused because of the lockdown situation now. So I think it was December 2018 I graduated. So what's that, like 3 or 4 years? I think it's coming up to same as me. Oh, amazing. Yeah. So I think by the end of this year, it will be 4 years. So I started off and I was just doing part-time yoga teaching, was made redundant. But the same time I was made redundant, I was also accepted into teaching into a couple of studios. So it kind of felt like that silver lining, like it was meant to be kind of thing. And I thought, with the redundancy money, I'll give it a month, see if I can make, you know, a profit from teaching and just getting covers and working loads. And then, by the end of the second month, I was like, well, it doesn't seem to be going too badly. I'd been given some permanent classes. I was still interviewing because I was a PA before. I was interviewing to maybe get a part-time PA, part-time yoga role. And it just didn't work out. And I was like, well, I guess this is my job now, teaching full-time. So kind of stumbled into it. But yeah, wouldn't change it for the world. I think working for yourself is hard work, but good fun. So yeah, I'm kind of leaned towards more of a stronger flow teacher, so lots of power flow, vinyasa flow, but I'm really finding my voice now in the yin and slow flow pace as well. And I recently did my pregnancy teacher training because I am 6 months pregnant, so this is like the next
congratulations
thanks it's the next little step.
And so, as well as teaching in-person classes, you also have some digital elements to your business. Do you want to talk us through what the different income streams, I guess we can call them, of your business are?
Yeah. So obviously, since lockdown started, it became, I want to say, like everybody's main source of income. So when the COVID hit, when COVID hit, I went from like everyone teaching full time to then having zero income, like no income at all. So I think I was kind of like in that space of like everybody, like, oh, we're gonna have to shift online, you know, do we use Teams, do I use Facebook Lives, what do I do, what, like, how on earth am I gonna make an income? And obviously discovered Zoom, and we're still here, so it's great. And yeah, just thought, do you know what, the quicker you get out there, the quicker that, you know, people are going to get used to using this tech and be online. So I think, and yeah, for the first month, so March didn't make any money. April, though, was the highest earnings I've ever had as a freelancer, even now, like even pre and post lockdown. It was mad. But I think it was because everyone was like, oh, this is new, I can do yoga, I'm bored at home, I might as well. And then it kind of, as everybody else started to join like the Zoom community, it kind of dwindled.
It was kind of an amazing moment though, wasn't it? Because we kind of all went from teaching in studios with a set class fee, and then all of a sudden you put your online classes on, and not only are you teaching students that you were teaching in your in-person classes, but friends, family, people that you'd met on travels were all coming to your online classes. And at the beginning it was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be rich.
Yeah, and but it was that thing of like, what do you offer, what times do you offer, what prices do you offer, do you put packages together? Because if you see, when you work for a studio and you get, like you say, a set fee or you get commission, then it's great, you just turn up, you teach, you leave. Whereas you had to become your own yoga studio, which was, I'm sure like everyone felt it, but it was like, I don't even know where to start.
Well, it was a huge shift, wasn't it? It was a huge shift from being a yoga teacher to suddenly being like a yoga teacher business of one, doing your own marketing, promotion, doing all your own admin, your booking systems, being your own IT tech guy.
Yeah,
you know, there was so much to learn in a really short space of time. But actually, teachers did such an amazing job of doing that pivot. And actually, we kind of thought, God, there's so many amazing opportunities now. We can do memberships, we can do on-demand platforms, online studios. Like, literally, we can just take the power back away from kind of being employees of a studio to being like, I actually can build business of my own here.
Yeah, where I'm
directly getting my own students. And it was kind of exciting, right?
Yeah. I think it's like, it was kind of one of those things that I feel like we all took advantage of. But I feel like if I could go back in time now, I would take more advantage of it. Like, I think I've been definitely a little bit lazy in terms of like content creation, not like obviously all the stuff we're going to talk about later, but more in terms of like the longer, you know, getting on, you know, YouTube a little bit more, putting out more videos. It was just purely, I think, from a space of at the start of lockdown, I was teaching two classes a day, one in the morning, one in the evening, or at lunch, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when it's online and you're in a room by yourself and nobody's talking to you, or no one's like giving you feedback, and you're having to, set up all your tech and do all this stuff and send recordings out. And it was, it was a lot. I think it was a lot. And we're all, you know, stressed about making enough money anyway.
There was a lot to learn. And we didn't know how long, it was going to go on for either. We didn't know that, you know, a year and a half later, all of those that we should have been thinking about the kind of long game, if all we knew, it could have been a couple of months and then we'd be back in studios. And so you've grown an online membership of students, I'm guessing some previous students, some new students.
Yeah.
How did you find taking on that responsibility of, right, now I'm actually in charge of promoting myself? And how did you utilize the tools that you had available, like social media and email marketing, to do that?
I'm not from a marketing background. Obviously, the platforms that we have, like Facebook and Instagram and now TikTok, are really, really good free platforms. But obviously, very addictive to use. And
very addictive.
Yeah.
Very, very addictive.
I don't know. I think it's just keeping consistent and keeping regular and having a voice that isn't just reflective of what everybody else is saying. I think it's really easy to get caught up in posting the bog standard and getting professional photos done and putting those up, and obviously they're amazing, they look great, and they're like memories to have. But I think the point of people coming back to classes, and it's what I've had feedback on, is that people come for you. Everyone knows yoga, everyone knows a warrior one and warrior two, but they might not have had it said. I think I said was a one the other day in class, and everyone just knew what they were doing, and it was like just so nice that
was a one
come to was a one, just like, and people like, but people that have been with me for a while will know that I just like flow out, and you know, we'll go into down dog and I'll say right leg high, flippy dip over to your wild thing, and just they get it, and it's not even like it's not even meant to be a joke anymore, it's just like that's how I talk. And I think the more personality you can put into your platform, and the more that people see not just the Rumi quote, the more that you can just be you and be natural, the more that people are going to be like, oh okay, there's a personality here, rather than just like a this is my was a one.
So how did your content change from the world pre-reels and pre-TikTok? How did it change? What kind of content were you putting out then? And then what kind of content are you putting out now? And how has that grown your account and grown your community?
Before all that stuff, all the video-y stuff, I guess it was more of my home practice. I remember I've got a friend who was with me from day one of my account when I used to, you know, like those yogi challenges that you used to do, and you'd be like, upload 5 days of you doing these crazy poses, and I'd do content like that, and it was just me in my garden filming and then taking screenshots with the phone. And then kind of the video aspect came in, and I think at first you could do like 30 seconds and then it went up to like a minute, and it was still just a little squares. So then I would film some of my asana practice, and I'd probably put a little background of either what I did, or I went through a period as well of putting a pose up and then putting the Sanskrit name and then what it was in English and then what the cues would to be. So I was trying to make it like very like official and very yoga. When we went into lockdown, I did a few little tutorials like handstand drills and splits drills and things like that, which is where if I could go back in time, I would do more of that content. And then when I discovered TikTok, I hadn't been there for ages. And you know, you kind of first discover a new platform and you're like, oh, I'm not going to post anything. And there was one thing that I read, and it said that 80% of people are consumers and 20% of people are creators. And you can grow so much of your business if you just think in that mindset, that there is going to be so many more people watching what you do than not doing it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that kind of clicked, not to say that you're special or you're talented, but I was like, I do have a thing that, you know, you can teach and people want to learn from. So then got on the TikTok platform, started doing yoga-y stuff, and some of it works and some of it doesn't. Like TikTok's a very weird platform to try and use. It tends to be the shorter the video, the better it works for some reason.
What you said about yoga content on TikTok was so true, because I remember when I first downloaded it and I kind of was looking for the same content that I have on my Instagram, which is all yoga content really. And I started going on TikTok and looking for yoga content, and there wasn't really anything there. And I was thinking, maybe it's just not suited to yoga. But obviously now, you know, as the platform develops and people get more used to this way of creating content, all of a sudden then the content starts to appear across all the different kind of industries. You got in there nice and early. How did you find it creating the content when you didn't really have any content to kind of, should we say, model slash copy? Any like yoga trends to jump on? You were kind of really having to be very creative.
I think the thing with TikTok is, and I think and again I saw another TikTok video explaining it, which is, if we think of everything in kind of TikTok world, is that it's all one meme. So like you have like a sound bite, and then everybody's using that sound bite will interpret it in a different way. So obviously when you have like a meme, and it might be a photo of someone, and it says the caption of like, you know, if you think of a really famous meme, and people can put so many different scenarios into it, it's exactly the same as that, but you just have to twist it into what your narrative is. So when I sort of was looking at the platform and kind of watching all the videos, and I'd be like, surely there's a way that I can transfer this into like a yoga mindset. And I think one of the first reels that I put up that did really well, I was actually holding a chaturanga, or like holding a plank. I lowered down really quickly, and then the text sort of says like, it says like, oh, when your teacher tells you to hold the chaturanga and your knees are lifted, or something like that. And it was just like really, really simple, and it like banged, and it just got so much love. And it was that real simple concept of like, we've all been there, we all know what chaturanga is in your community if you're a yogi. And it was just like simple humor that is just lighthearted. And I think the reason my platform kind of changed and I put some more like kind of funny stuff out there is that during lockdown everyone was just like, ugh, and it was just a way to help lift spirits. And yeah, I remember I took like a little break and someone messaged like, are you gonna put any more videos out soon? I was like, oh, are they that good?
I want to pause the interview to briefly talk about using the fantastic tool that is Instagram for your marketing in your business. We can have a love-hate relationship with the platform, but ultimately we know that it is the best way to bring in new client leads and to grow your profile and impact. If you're at the stage where you want to really utilize Instagram for your business, create a solid strategy to attract more clients and make a bigger impact, then I would encourage you to check out my 6-week group program. You can visit www.thedigitalyogi.co.uk/masterthegram to apply.
It takes a little bit of time, and I think I spend more time in my daydreams thinking about the sound clip and what I can do than I do actually filming it. I think we said the other day, like,
yeah,
I feel like a bit of a fraud because it takes me about 10 seconds to film these things and I don't put much effort in, and then yeah, it seems to just work. But I think it comes back to that thing of like just being natural and being you, because if it's too staged, you can tell. Film it one time, and if it works, then great, just use that. Even if you're not completely happy with it, you're more likely to get a natural reaction from your first time filming than you are from like, yeah, the 17th time trying to tell a joke through.
I think you know when you've come up with like a really good idea. You kind of come up with the idea and you're like, oh yeah, that's a good one. What do you think are the different elements that make something viral versus a bit of a flop?
Time is definitely a thing. So like, I watch some reels or some TikToks and it just doesn't get to the point quick enough. I'll be sat there watching it and you kind of like, some of them really draws you in because it'll be like a story, but some videos you just kind of watch and it just kind of like the person is like delaying what they want to say. It's like you just need to get in there, do your funny thing or say what you need to say and then be done with it, because we have an attention span of like 2 seconds before we flick on a phone. Like, we're more likely to flick past something than we are, so you have to really capture someone with either the text at the top or maybe like the face that you pull or something like that. Like, I always see a badly edited video where someone will just be there and then it will kick in and I'm like, I'm done, like I'm already bored.
Too slow.
Like, yeah, sorry, you're gone. And I know it's really, really harsh to say, but I think that's the little bit of the downfall of social media is that if you don't get to that point quick enough, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's that instant gratification we're looking for. And it's the same in Instagram stories. If somebody goes, hi, today I want to talk to you, and I'm just like, no, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, like just get to it. And it's actually something that I've brought into my teaching as well. I had some feedback once just saying like, oh, you add a lot of right, okay, next, here we go. And it's like, just cut that. Just get to it.
Oh.
Step right foot forwards, arms high to sky. Like, you don't need to go, and now we're going to step your right foot forwards. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, no, get to the point a little bit more.
Yeah.
Don't waffle.
Cut out all the unnecessary waffle. Copywriters apply the same idea to their, when they're writing captions and copy, is like, go through and just cut out all the unnecessary words. Any words you can cut out where it still makes sense, cut it out, because actually it's going to keep people's attention. It's going to feel shorter, snappier. And if it feels waffly, people are going to, they're not going to give you their attention for very long.
The quicker you can get it out there, the better, really, which I really hate saying, because I think we all need to slow down a little bit. But it's just, yeah, it's the way that the content works.
And how have Reels and TikTok helped to grow your accounts and your community? How important is it that people start including viral video content in their Instagram or TikTok content strategies?
during lockdown, I did get a growth of probably like 1,000 followers. It's not necessarily about the numbers these days, and especially now that Instagram have taken away seeing the likes, it's like, okay, well, it just doesn't matter even more. So I think, yeah, don't be concerned about that. But what you do want to be concerned of is the people that are there, that you are connecting with them, with the real stuff and with the video stuff. I think it can just be a really handy tool to make people know your personality and who you are. And if you're somebody that's really you know, philosophical and you want to put a lot of that out there, then create some content that does that. Like, you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. There's a guy, Eddie Stern, who's like a massive, he's got a huge following on Instagram, and he's a Ashtanga teacher. He's amazing. And he puts out a lot of video content, which is, yeah, very philosophical, and is talking about, you know, more of the kind of like other limbs of yoga rather than just kind of the asana and things like that. And, but yeah, he does still post very impressive like asana postures and things. So one more thing to remember is that when Instagram brings in a new feature, they want you to use that feature. So the reason that Reels are getting so big and so much more views is because Instagram wants you to use that, because they want to be a competitor of TikTok. So I think it's just put yourself out there a little bit more. And even if it's not that you gain 100 million thousand followers, it's that people see your face, or they come back to it, or just remembering that you're there, sort of thing.
You might put out a reel and you don't see a lot of traction, or you don't necessarily get any new clients off the back, but there might be people watching who are perhaps in the marketing team of a brand that you might want to work with. And then you get asked to do some kind of partnership, or asked to teach at some kind of event. And that's all just through being visible. Even if the reels aren't great for getting direct leads, it's just being visible. It's showing up as an expert, creating that sense of authority and confidence in what you do. And then the opportunities that might come off the back of it then might start to bring in the clients, or then might start to help you grow your platforms.
Yeah, there was actually a brand that asked me to work with them to create just 3 reels and with their ambassadors. So I literally just had to tell the ambassadors what to do. Yeah, get them to send me the content. I made the reels, didn't even put music to it. I just said, here's all your content. And yeah, so it's just like little things like that. You don't know where it's going to lead you to. You don't know. So don't be shy. Just put it out there, because you might feel like a wally, and I feel like a wally in 90% of the things that I put up. But then
you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah, and don't take yourself too seriously. Like, you know.
Because you can kind of sit on the sidelines and go, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And watch everybody else, their accounts growing and going viral and appearing on your explore page, and sit back and go, no, I'm not funny enough for reels. Oh, I'm too cool for reels.
Yeah.
What are the kind of limiting beliefs do you think people might say about reels?
You might feel like you're too cool for it, or like too old for it, or that your content would work on it. And I think you don't know unless you try. And it's like anything, the first couple of things you put out there, no one's really going to see it, or they might see it and they go and then you'll do one, and for no particular reason it will bang. I think the biggest one that I had is making a joke about child's pose. I was just stood there, and it sat in the drafts of my TikTok account for about 6 months, because I was like, oh, it's not actually that funny. And I put it out on TikTok, and I think it got something ridiculous like 10,000 likes. And then I put it on Instagram, and that got 11,000 likes. And I was like, it's not even that good. And it's literally
you're like, this is not my best work.
It was like a 50 Cent song. I think it was like that candy shop song. And it just says, can I take a child's pose whenever I want? And then the next bit just goes, in time with the music. That was it. And I think the reason that did so well is, again, really quick content. Everyone knows that song. And it's kind of like, I was just stood there, not doing anything too fancy. Because it was a slight, I think, innuendo, some of the comments I had on TikTok were like, what's a child's pose? How do I do a child's pose in bed, or something like that? And I was like, oh God, reach the wrong audience. And I think because of that, because it was like almost like a miscommunication, but the yogis would know what it meant, it then propelled the video, because Yeah, it was just quick and simple and easy, and people could misjudge it for one thing from another. Mm. So that was, I think it got this, something ridiculous, like 500,000 views, which I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane? Like 500,000 views, 500,000 people have seen your business.
Yeah.
Because if you compare it to the kind of content that you might put out, you know, how to carousels or nice imagery, and you think, God, what's the organic reach of those posts? Maybe let's say they get seen by, you know, a few thousand people. And the fact that you can get your content seen by 100,000 people if one of your reels picks up, like the you can see why it's worthwhile spending the time on them. Now, what we don't want to do is kind of be spending hours a day doing reel inspo, you know, scrolling through lots of reels, trying to get some inspiration, trying to find some trends and things like that. And then before you know it, you've literally wasted your whole day planning content. Now, what is your method, your tips and tricks to create reels without it taking over your whole life?
So I create all of my reel content on TikTok. You can just download it from there without the watermark, upload it onto Instagram. And yeah, I mean, I probably do spend too long time on TikTok, but because I really enjoy it. And it's always that little thing of like, it's almost like my place to just zone out, you know, other people.
I just love TikTok so much. And it is one of those bad habits where I know I could be doing something more valuable with my time, but it's just so easy and enjoyable to sit there scrolling through.
It's just hilarious. Like the things that people come up with, and I'm like, I don't know how you have done that, but like it's brilliant. So yeah, so what I do is like that kind of coming back to hearing a sound, watching what other people have done on that sound, and then interpreting it to what your narrative is. And I think, you know, it might even take like a few days. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I've got this really good thing. There's like one Fesk sound bite that I want to use at the moment, and it's just someone saying no, 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 and it's just questions that pop up, and your answer is always going to be no. And it's just taking a little bit of time, and you know, some days it will come really quickly and you're like, I know exactly how I want to use this and I can film it straight away. But yeah, other days it will take a little while. The one thing that I would say definitely helps is just thinking about the classes that you've been to or the classes that you've taught and the students that you've seen, and just remembering those scenarios and then being like, how could I put that into a video? So I was actually teaching yin a few weeks ago, and I must have been blabbing on, and a lady put her fingers in her ears, and like, I don't know whether it's because,
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's because I was talking or it was in a gym, so the music might have been a bit too loud in the gym. So I don't know whether it was like a mixture of the two, but I remember just being like, oh no. But that scenario is quite
content.
Funny. Yeah, it's quite funny. And like, I don't mind having a laugh at my own expense. I'm sure that everyone has those stories, or people have like walked out, or they would never want to demean anyone for the way that they practice. But yeah, like, you know, you always get the yogis that start off. And I used to be one of these yogis that will start their class in a handstand even before the class has begun. I used to do that religiously. So yeah, you can find like little ways. I think one of my reels once was, you know, what yogi are you? The one that turns up late, the one that's got all the props, the one that starts in a handstand. And we can poke fun at ourselves, basically. And I think sometimes the yoga space needs a little bit of that. It can get quite serious. And yeah, you've got to bring a little bit of joy back in.
So you think taking inspiration from your day-to-day scenarios, finding things that are a little bit relatable and funny, and thinking, how can I turn this into a piece of content that's going to resonate with my target audience?
The other thing that will work on reels as well is, you know, thinking about step for, say, like an asana practice, or steps for like a meditation. So you could do like, you know, set a prop up and say, these are the five, or not speak it out loud, but just do a video of like five things you need for meditation. Sit up against the wall, your favorite music, an incense, maybe like headphones if you want to lock everything out, and like an eye pillow. And you could literally do something as simple as that. I think I've noticed that people try and overcomplicate it, but keep it simple, keep it quick, keep it to the point.
So which of the two platforms, Reels or TikTok, are the best for building reach and impact in your yoga business?
Ooh, so I think Instagram is best for students that will come back to you time and time again. And I think TikTok is a platform for gaining exposure. Don't think I've had any, I've had one lady actually message me on Instagram from TikTok. She's like, I found your TikTok. But then that's just my experience. Whereas I've seen other people grow. So I've got a friend called Margaret, and she has now got 12,000 followers on her TikTok account. She's got over 4,000 followers on her YouTube, and then she's got about 2,000 on her Instagram account. And she's built that up over this kind of like the past year. I kind of watched her transform, but because she puts out really banging content, and she puts, I think she does like daily videos on YouTube and daily videos on TikTok. Like she's incredible. I don't know, she's like, she's a beast. But yeah, so I think like if you have the time and the dedication to really, really commit to daily posting and stuff that isn't just in your niche as well. I think that's another thing about TikTok, is that I've put loads of like niche yoga things up and they haven't done very well. And then I'll do a stupid video about my boyfriend or about, I don't know, being pregnant, and it will get like 200,000 views. And I'm like, well, where is this on my niche content?
I think it's because on TikTok, you're mostly seeing content from people that you don't follow on the For You page. Maybe like 1 in every 100 is going to be someone that you follow.
Yeah.
Then on Instagram, you're actually seeing content from people that you are connected with. So that's probably why Instagram is a better place to be actually turning those views into some kind of interaction or engagement that's going to mean something versus TikTok, where it's a great place to get mass reach. But you're going to be mostly reaching people that aren't necessarily within your target audience.
Yeah. Pinterest is a really good way to connect to a whole different audience as well. But I think last month, my Pinterest views were like 30,000. I don't put much effort into it. I think it's just remembering that, even if you make it on TikTok, you can share it to Instagram, and then you can put it out on Pinterest or on Facebook as well. Mm. And just one piece of content can do so much.
If there's people listening to this episode and they're going, it sounds great, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm scared of doing reels. It's not for me. I don't need to do it. What would you say?
Why not just try it? Just give it a go. Like, don't get disheartened if it doesn't work. And don't even big yourself up if it does work, because it's kind of that fluctuating thing of like, it's like Instagram posts as well, the pictures. Some do great and some don't. And I think there's nothing to lose. Like, it's a free platform for marketing you. And as long as you're being authentic and putting something out there that, resonates with you and you think would resonate with your people, that's all that matters, really. And don't take yourself too seriously.
I want to say a massive thank you to Epony for joining me for this episode. This is the first one we've ever done about Reels. Hopefully it's inspired you to go out and give Reels a go if you haven't already. And I'm going to link to Epony's accounts on both Instagram and TikTok so you can go and check out her content. As always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you're enjoying it, please share it online, give it a follow, a subscribe, or maybe leave a review. And I'll see you in 2 weeks.